Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We are plowing deep this week, going through the book of Leviticus, which is one of the probably least exciting but most detailed books of the Bible. Goes to all the things that the priests were required by God to do. And God, he had it detailed, I mean, down to the last hair on your head. And there was a reason he did it, because sin costs. Sin brings death. The whole problem is sin. Started with Adam and Eve, and they got kicked out of the garden, fired from the job, evicted from the house, kids started killing one another. Sin's got death attached to it, and God doesn't want us to die. God wants us to live, and you can't have sin around God. So that's why God had all the slaughtering of the animals. You bring the bull and the goat and the sheep, and the blood ran out of that building, you know, 7 days a week, because blood covered the sin. And that's why the blood of Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, because Jesus had never sinned, and he shed his blood for us that we might live. So it's our faith in what Jesus did, not what we did or what we do. So, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. And it's a wonderful thing. And so that's why people say, well, which one do you like better, the Old Testament or the New Testament? You can't separate them. The New Testament makes no sense unless you know the Old Testament, why they did what they did in the beginning. And so we have a better covenant. The New Covenant is a better covenant with better promises, but it did in a way, but if you don't know what it replaced, it doesn't make any sense. So you need to read both Old and New Testament. So today we're going to jump in Leviticus chapter 9. It's about the priesthood beginning their work. So in other words, if I wanted to come to God, I had to do it a certain way. So all people, the whole children of Israel, we want to come to God. Well, you can't. You have sin. And so there are requirements to come to God with your needs, with your requests, with your prayers, with your offerings. There's a certain way you have to approach God, and God was very detailed about that. So we're going to learn a lot today, so it's going to be really, really good. So if you're reading along, we're jumping in at verse 1 of chapter 9 of the book of Leviticus. Chapter 9, verse 1 says, after the ordination ceremony on the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. He said to Aaron, take a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defects, and present them to the Lord. Then tell the Israelites, take a male goat for a sin offering, take a calf and a lamb, both a year old, without defects for a burnt offering. Now you see how detailed he's getting already? What animal? What age? No defects. God's setting them up to let them know sin's going to cost you. Sin is expensive. It's going to kill you. You got to get up under sin. And that's why I've always shared that no human ever kept the Ten Commandments. Nobody. The only person that ever kept the Ten Commandments was Jesus. But everybody else, they didn't realize you're going to take your goat, your bull, your offering down to the temple and the tabernacle. You wouldn't get halfway home without sinning again. You thought, I can't keep from sinning. No, that's because every human is born with a sin nature. Your natural tendency is just to sin. And so that's why God set up the law, let them know eventually the law is not going to do any good. It's going to cost you every animal you've ever had. Eventually, I'm going to send my son. It'll be your faith in what my son did, not in what you do. Oh, that was real good. So verse 5. So the people presented all these things at the entrance of the tabernacle, just as Moses had commanded. Then the whole community came forward and stood before the Lord and Moses and said, this is what the Lord has commanded you to do, so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. And so they realize something. How are we going to know this is working? Well, the glory of God's going to show up. You're going to see a glow in the air. You're going to see it. Verse 7, and Moses said to Aaron, come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering to purify yourself and the people. Then present the offerings of the people to purify them, making them right with the Lord, just as he has commanded. So he's trying to explain to him, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to make yourself right with God by doing these offerings. Why? Because you got sin on you, and there has to be an offering. Now, we're going to use a, a goat, a bull, and a lamb right now, but eventually it's going to cost you yourself, but we're going to let you do the substitute right now. And so when Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple that separated the people from the Ark of the Covenant, which people believe was there, it wasn't there, but the whole purpose, the Bible says, New Testament, the veil was torn top to bottom. Why? There's no more need for the Ark of the Covenant. And so they made movies about it, and, you know, great movies, you know, I enjoy them, but there's not a lot of truth in that because there was no Ark of the Covenant. People say, how come they can't find it? I don't think God wants you to find it because there's no need for it. We're not going to make a, you know, another altar. We don't need an altar. We can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need because of what Jesus did. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for you and I. Ooh, it's real good. It's real good. So Aaron went to the altar and slaughtered the calf as a sin offering for himself. His sons brought him the blood, and he dipped his finger in it and put it on the horns of the altar. He poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. These are all according to the instructions. Then he burned on the altar the fat, the kidneys, the long lobe of the liver from the sin offering, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The meat, the hide, however, were to be burned outside the camp. So there's some instructions here. Verse 12. Next, Aaron slaughtered the animal for the burnt offering. His sons brought the blood. He splattered it against the sides of the altar and handed him each a piece of the burnt offering, including the head. He burned them on the altar. Then he washed the internal organs and the legs and burned them on the altar along with the rest of the burnt offering. Next, Aaron presented the offerings for the people. He slaughtered the people's goat, presented it as an offering for their sin. This he had first done with the offering for his own sin. Then he presented the burnt offering and sacrificed it in the prescribed way. He also presented, now people always say, why are you doing this? Well, because God had it recorded. And there's, the Bible says in the New Testament, there's so many things that happened in the Bible. There is not enough books or pages on this planet that you can write to fill up everything Jesus did just in his 3.5 years of ministry. Well, there's a whole lot more that happened. So God, when if he got it in print, it's real important because there's a whole lot that never made it into print. There's a ton of stuff that didn't make it into print. So God selected what would be in print. And so what he's trying to do is let you know that sin is expensive. The whole purpose of the Old Testament lets you know that sin's very expensive. So it says, then he brought the grain offering, burning a handful of the flour mixture at the altar, addition to the regular burnt offering for the morning. Then Aaron slaughtered the bull and the ram for the people's peace offering. It says, brought the blood and he splattered it against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat of the bull and of the ram, the fat of the broad tail from around the internal organs, along the kidneys and the lobes of the livers. He placed the fat portions on top of the breast of all the animals and burned them on the altar. Aaron then lifted up the breast, the right thigh for the special offering, just to the Lord, just as Moses had commanded him. Verse 22, after that, Aaron raised his hands toward the people and he blessed them. Now he said, I need you to do all this. So you bring these offerings, you bring them this way, you offer them this way, you sacrifice this way, you burn them this way. Certain things that don't make it, they go outside the camp. But these special parts of all this animal, they're going to be offered a certain way. And then he did all that. Then after that, Aaron raised his hands toward the people and he blessed them. Then after presenting the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering, he stepped down from the altar. Then Moses and Aaron went to the tabernacle, and when they came back, they blessed the people again, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. Fire blazed from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When the people saw this, they shouted with joy, fell down on their face to the ground. What is it? God's accepted us. God's forgiven us. Our sin's been covered. He's accepted our offerings and everything's good. And the priest has raised his hands toward us. He's blessed us. We're blessed. And when he came up and presented the whole thing again, the people fell down on their face and shouted, "Woo, man, we got it made for another year. We've got it made. Our sin's covered. Our sin's been paid for. We've been redeemed." And so God goes into great detail about all this stuff because sin's expensive. You know, when I worked with high school kids years ago, we tried to tell them, listen, God loves you. God's forgiven everything you've ever done, but you still have to repent. You still have to repent. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day, but they get back up. Well, not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. What does that mean? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm born again and spirit filled. I go to church. I read my Bible, but I still mess up. I still sin every now and then. I'm not perfect. The Bible says the righteous, those been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, still fall on their face 7 times a day. I'm still growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It's a process. I'm still growing up. And so by doing that, I get to repent every day. I get to forgive every day. And I keep the blood flowing. God, I used to say, it's like we have an attorney in heaven. We have our own personal lawyer. People, you ever been in court, you know about law. You want to make sure your lawyer is better than your enemy's lawyer. So we have a great attorney, our lawyer in heaven, Jesus Christ, the righteous, stands at the right hand of the Father, and he presents our stuff to God. And when God looks at us, he sees the altar in heaven, the altar in heaven. Remember when Jesus came out of the grave, Mary and Martha are there, and he said, don't touch me. I've not yet gone to my Father, your Father, my God, and your God. He said, I've come out of the grave. I've been raised from the dead. I have to take and present my blood to the altar in heaven. Now, most people skip over that because they don't understand it. I have to present my blood to the altar in heaven. So the altar in heaven has the blood of Jesus on it. So every time we go to heaven, God looks at us and he sees that altar and he sees his son's blood, which buys us our eternal presence into the presence of God. Why? I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. All the songs we used to sing in church, you know, about the blood. We sang songs about the blood. My church, every Sunday, at least one song about the blood. Because even then the pastors knew. What'd you need? Well, I needed to be covered by the blood. I've been bought by the blood. I'm covered by the blood. I'm purchased by the blood. And we sang about the blood. And it's like, of course, the New Testament, especially here in America, we don't know much about the blood. You know, we've been in wars, but we didn't see it personally. Our granddaddy was in war. Our daddy was in war. And maybe if you're old enough, you had the Vietnam War, you know, you saw some of that. But most people did not see that. And they don't know that life's in the blood. You lose your blood, you lose your life. And so when in heaven, God looks at that altar in heaven, there's an altar in heaven. And it has the blood of his son on it that he took up after he left the grave, before he came back and spent 40 days on the earth. And it was an incredible time, incredible ministry. There's not a lot of preaching about it, but there's quite a bit of scripture about it. And so Jesus took his blood to the altar of heaven. And so that's why I can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. I can run right up God's armpit. Why? Blood of Jesus gives me permission, gives me entrance. My sin's been paid for by the blood of his son. And so I always present, Father, I thank you. I've been redeemed, the curse of the law, which is poverty, sickness, death. For curses, everyone hangs on a tree. And Jesus bore that curse for me. He purchased my interest. He purchased my family. I can run boldly. God loves me just like I am, warts and all. I can run boldly into the throne of God. And so it's a great thing that God did for us. So today, when you give it some thought about your Bible reading, you think, man, what's all this stuff, Leviticus? It's legitimate. It's trying to present an image of that. You can't get entrance without the blood. And once you present the blood the way it was so it said to be done, the people rejoiced. Their sins were forgiven. They fell down on their face. They worshiped God. Yee-haw, man, they were happy. Why? The blood's been accepted. The blood's been accepted. Your sins have been paid for, basically, is what he's trying to say. So it's a great thing. So I pray God take blindness from our mind, lighten the eyes of understanding, give us a revelation of what God's called us to do. Because we've got it made, people. We have it made. I tell Christians all the time, we do seminars every weekend. You sin, just repent. Or if somebody sins against you, just forgive. Even if they didn't ask you to forgive, I forgive them anyhow. I'm not going to have, because sin, you try to get its hands on you. You know, that's where the devil traps people is with their sin. Well, I'm going to repent quick and forgive quick every day. So I'm like a wet bar of soap. You can't get your hands on me, devil. I'm slippery. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Ooh, it's a great revelation. We're going to pick this up next time we come back. Thanks for listening, guys. Y'all have a great day. God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.